We would like to dedicate this episode of Daft About Craft to Dave D's dad, John, who sadly passed away in the early hours of January the 18th.
A very warm welcome to Daft About Craft, the craft beer podcast, episode number 8. And this is the first one of our episodes that goes every 3 weeks. We used to be every month in 2020, but we've stepped up our game now, and you've got me, Dave D.
And me, Dave B.
As usual, but now every 3 weeks instead of every 4 or 5 weeks. How about that? Can't be bad at all, can it, Dave?
No, and we've got a lot coming up every 3 weeks now. We've definitely got enough material, and there's lots of exciting things going on. Obviously, this coming out at the end of the month, if you're listening and you've been doing triannuary, great. And if you've been doing dryannuary and you're getting ready to try some stuff, there's no shortage of good beers out there to get stuck into.
And we'll be pointing you in the right direction, starting off first today with our Brew to Me feature, where we both try something new from a brewery we haven't had before. We've also got the guys from Lord's Brewing in Huddersfield coming along for a chat with us, which we're really looking forward to. What else have we got? We've got the guys from Rivington, a really, really good craft brewery that we've got big expectations from in 2021. And they'll tell you what they've been up to. We've got our Hype or Tripe. And Dave, what beer are we doing? It could only be one beer, couldn't it?
It can. It's really exciting to actually see it. I mean, we'd like to sort of maybe think we've shaped the narrative, but probably haven't. But, you know, the word hype has been chucked around a lot with this beer, which is great. And it is, of course, Verdant Putty, which has had its annual re-release, I believe it is.
Absolutely. They've been doing it since 2017, I think. So this is the third or fourth one. And we'll be giving it a road test to see if it lives up to that hype. We're very much looking forward to that. We've also got various news and other bits and pieces along the way. And, well, we're really excited to be here every 3 weeks now. And hopefully you are as well. If you are, you can get in touch with us and tell us. If you're disgusted that we're now on the on your device too often, you can tell us that as well. The socials, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just look for Daft About Craft or Daft About Craft 1 and you will find us.
But just tell us. Don't unsubscribe. We love you all.
Exactly. You just keep listening to us. Well, I think that's what we're doing. Should we crack on with it, Dave, and do our first feature, Brew to Me?
Daft About Craft.
So, yes, as Dave was saying, our first feature we do on every show is Brew to Me, where we select a beer from a brewery we have not sampled before. Now, I've been pretty much spoilt for choice this month. I've really embraced triannuary. I've had no end of new beers. I've got no end of new beers in the fridge. I've gone a bit mad, to be perfectly honest, but that's what lockdown does to you.
And also the purchase of a new fridge, that does it to you as well, doesn't it?
Well, I inherited it. We got a new fridge for the kitchen, and I already had a little beer fridge, and now I have a little beer fridge and a fridge you could use in the kitchen. So I've got sort of double my capacity at a stroke. But yeah, I've had a lot of new breweries. I ordered a load from Black Lodge up in Liverpool and enjoyed some of them. I've still got a few of those left. I did a very big order with my new friend Andy from Hydrology. That was very exciting. There was a heck of a lot of brewers on there that I've not had, so I'm very much going to enjoy getting through some of those. And finally, I placed an order with Little Misters, or Meesters. I presume it's Misters. It's spelled M-E-S-T-E-R-S. Little Misters Brewing in Sheffield. I'd seen them for a little while because their can art is very catchy. It catches my eye. Fans of the Fallout game series, if you like Fallout and you know what the Pip-Boy and all that artwork looks like, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I've got the Juicy Content IPA, which is, I believe it's one of their specials, actually. It's not one of the cores at the moment. It's a 5% IPA. Hops-wise, it's quite an interesting combination. I've got Huel Melon, so therefore I'm hoping there's some melon, Magnum and Cascade, and then it's dry-hopped with Mandarina Bavaria. So this should actually be quite a citrusy one, I'm thinking.
This sounds like it could be really good.
I think they still do have as well. They've got some festive-y sort of porters and darker beers they did, which were sort of riffing on the Three Wise Men. I've got those, but I didn't want to have one of them straight away because I thought I'd be better trying to go for more of a sort of normal core offering. Now, that is crystal clear in the glass, which I didn't expect. I thought this might be hazy of some description, but it could easily be cider?
That looks like a... To me, if I saw that, I'd think, oh, that's a cider, that.
There's no head whatsoever. It's flat as... I mean, there is life in the body, but it's completely flat. That's not at all what I expected. So on the nose, it was a bit melony and a little bit citrusy without too much. The body's actually quite full, despite the look. I get a little bit of the dry hop, but it's not a very fierce dry hop. It's quite... It's adds a little bit of bitterness at the end, but not very much. I wouldn't perhaps be able to pick Magnum and Cascade out of a lineup hops-wise to know what I should be getting here fully, but there's some citrus. It's one step above a session IPA, I guess, because the sort of taste holds up all the way through.
Presumably, then, that tastes very different to the session IPAs you're used to.
Well, I'm not a huge session IPA fan because when we were talking about last month when we were doing our stuff with Big Drop, the alcohol-free beers, and that fade away into sort of watery nothingness is what I associate with session IPAs, and that puts me off them a bit. They're good for, you know, crack a couple on a sunny afternoon type thing, but then I'm sort of done with them. I don't know. I suppose at 5%, it's just falling in. It's an IPA, maybe.
Mm.
It's just a pale, I think.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think it is, yes. I think when you pour a beer into a glass and it looks different to how you imagined it would do, it messes with your brain a little bit, and it puts you off kilter a little bit, to be honest, because it's not what you thought it was going to be.
That it probably has thrown me off a bit, because I was expecting to get something sort of that usual vibrant orangey yellow colour which comes out of a nice big foamy head.
Mm.
And instead I've got a completely crisp, you know, it could be appetizer. It's sort of that look. It's really strange, but it's not unpleasant. I don't know if I'd have it again.
But it certainly wouldn't put you off trying anything else from them. That's always a key thing.
Not in the slightest.
I see these guys haven't been going long. They're only established last year in Sheffield.
Mm.
So I wonder how many beers have actually brewed since they kicked off. I guess, well, probably not that many.
No, they do seem in the early stages of it. And as I say, I love the logo and their sort of artwork. And when I ordered, I did get a T-shirt because I couldn't help myself.
He gets a T-shirt, I get the glasses. That's generally how it works, isn't it? I fall for the glass.
Yeah,
the glass
that's your weakness, and my weakness is merch. I don't really know what to quite make of that. I definitely don't mind it, but I don't know if I want to have it again. I'm still very interested because, as you say, I've got these other ones and I do also have a lager from them. So I'd be interested to see how that goes as well.
Well, I see they've got a tap room, which presumably at some point will reopen again one of these days. And so if you saw that in the tap room, would you think it'd be worth a go?
I'd be interested to try it off tap just to see if it does anything different off sort of a key keg or something.
And if you want to get yourself a can of that or anything else that Little Mesters have got to offer, littlemestersbrewing.co.uk. And if you're getting quick, I see they've got 10% off everything on their web shop during January. So if you want to give them a go, that's the website to head for. Right, so it's my turn now. I'm going for somebody I hadn't even heard of before, let alone tried before. And I'm going for Peninsula from Madrid in Spain. I saw a few of their cans and I grabbed them. I grabbed three cans, in fact. I got Galactic Midnight, which is a 10% triple IPA. And I also got, another triple IPA. fancy that. That's another 10% one. And I also got this one, the one I'm going to have, and the 330ml can, which is a Galosa, which I see translated into English. Translates as sweet tooth. Now,
okay.
I've had quite a few sweet beers recently, which I've really quite hated, so that doesn't bode well. But hopefully this won't just be sweetness. Hopefully there'll be something else in here. It's an imperial stout with chocolate, coconut and marshmallow, which sounds promising, 9.5%. I just don't want it to be too sweet.
We have been here before with Brewtome, because you had the barrel-aged small stout not long ago, and that didn't quite deliver what you wanted on the marshmallow front.
So. Yeah. Right, let's pour it out.
How strong is it, by the way?
9.5%.
Oh, restrained, man.
Indeed. Right, there is loads of coconut there on the nose.
Is it that sort of desiccated, sweet coconutty?
Yeah, my grandma used to make these biscuits with coconut in.
And you'd get the little bits which would stick in your,
your teeth.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It smells good. Lovely big head, though that's probably due to my terrible pouring, but
but it looks very nice.
It does. It poured lovely and thick, and I've got to say it doesn't smell oversweet, so let's give it a go. It doesn't taste oversweet either. That's nice. That is really nice. A pleasant surprise, because when I found out it was called Sweet Tooth, I was thinking, oh,
fiddle,
that's going to be just too much for me.
And is the marshmallow in there?
I'm getting a lot of chocolate,
Mm-hmm.
The coconut is there on the nose, not so much on the taste. And then, yeah, the marshmallow is there at the sort of back end of it all. That's a very well-balanced beer. And I would absolutely have that one again. If I see it again, I'm going to buy another one. That's really good.
That's quite a good endorsement.
I don't know much about this brewery, to be honest, and they don't give that much away on their website. What I can tell you is they do a whole range of beers from kettle sours to smoked porters, and that they're mainly around €5 a can when you buy them straight from them. So that's pretty good.
As long as you can get it here now.
Well, that is the tricky thing. But there are other places that sell it over here, some of the online stores. I think this can, it's a 330ml, was actually only €4.50, even better. That's very cheap, isn't it?
Very reasonable for...
I would not be offended if I'd have paid double. Not at all.
This all sounds very positive. It sounds like you've got a very nice beer.
Yeah. I can't wait to try these other two, and I'll go to them and have some more from them. They haven't been going too long. It's a father and son outfit. They've already collaborated with the likes of Garage and the Garden Brewery. Yeah, I predict good things for them.
Excellent. Well, sounds like you definitely got the hit out of the two brewed to me this episode. Mine... Yes, it was okay. I'm interested to see what else they've got, but I think we've got a winner in your one.
Absolutely. Right, well, we're very, very pleased indeed to welcome a guest on the programme today from all the way from Huddersfield, from Lords Brewing. It is John Slumbers. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're hoping to enjoy your beers while we have a little chat to you. Do you want to tell everybody about yourself and what you do up there?
Okay, so I'm the operations director. There's four of us now. There were three. My other two brother-in-laws, Ben, who is a brewer and used to work in a library, very creative guy. Then we have Tim, who is a ex-amateur boxer and lawyer. And then we have Richard, who is our investor. So that's the three of us. We make beer.
Sounds like you got all bases covered.
Very different backgrounds.
Yeah, but all bases covered there with those backgrounds.
Yeah, it's our biggest strength and our biggest weakness all at once.
I can imagine. So how long have you been going for then?
So we started in 2015, and my brother-in-law, Ben, was a home brewer, and he got a job with Golka Brewery in Golka, and learned how to brew beer on a commercial level with a guy called John Broadbent, who'd been doing it for years and years and years. And we still know John, lovely bloke. And we kind of bugged him to death with all the beer that we were making at his spot. And so we had to set up our own place, and we took a spot in an old mill just up the hill, and we've been there ever since.
We're right in saying you've got a tap room there as well?
We do. We have a tap room. We haven't operated it for a while. 2019, we got so busy with selling beer and producing beer that it was almost impossible for us to operate the tap room because of the access. And we'd have to turn the tap room into a tap room every time. Right. So, we haven't used it for quite a while, but I will say out of lockdown, we're definitely going to have to open it because everybody's been hounding us.
I can
imagine.
When
are you going to get that tap room open?
I think when lockdown finally ends, people's thirst to get out into tap rooms would be greater than ever.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you.
I think places are really going to thrive. They might have endured a lot of hardships over the last few months, but I think they're going to, if they manage to ride this out, I then think they'll really thrive in the following months.
There's a lot of really good people in the industry, and I think that's one of the things I miss the most. I would be out and about, knocking on doors, meeting people, telling them about Lords Brewing Company, what we do, where we're from, and trying to get them to buy some beer. And on the whole, they're really lovely people in the industry, and I really genuinely miss them. And there's a lot of them I really hope are still there at the end of this.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of beers, obviously, that's why you're here. And we've got the first one open. I've had a little go on it already. So we're drinking cranberry-infused pale ale. And reading the back of the can, Roy is inspired by a scruffy little pink bear, which is a nice way of naming a can. I like that.
So the story behind Roy is Ben, my brother-in-law and brewer, had a little teddy bear when he was... a kid, and it was pink, bright pink, and it was called Pinky. And his dad worked as an engineer and worked with a guy called Roy, and his nickname was Pinky. So then what happened? They swapped names. So he became Pinky and the bear became Roy. And Roy is the most ugly bear you've ever seen. So the picture of Roy on the can is nothing like the real Roy.
That's what I was going to ask. Does he look like that or not? No, he doesn't. Right.
He's minging.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The beer's definitely not minging.
Ben's going to be upset.
When I opened the can, I could smell that cranberry straight away, and I poured it into the glass and tasted a bit, and I like it very much. It's really nice.
And it's got 80 kilos of cranberry in it. Cranberry puree, actually.
That's what I like to know. There's real proper fruit in these beers rather than just, flavourings and essences. And you can really taste the cranberry, and that comes through really well.
It's light. It's refreshing. It's not... I don't like sour beer, personally. And
neither do I.
I'm a massive sour fan. Dave hates the stuff. I love it. This, when you see what it is, you think, oh, it might be a bit sour, but it's not. It's not sour in any way. It's a lovely, easy drinking pale.
Hides for 5.8 really well as well. You'd never know that's that strong.
You'd never know that was nearly 6%. No, not at all. It's really nice. Impressed. I mean, really impressed with that. My first Lord's beer. That's good. I'd come back again for more.
It's always terrifying when somebody tries your beer for the first time.
But
I was actually holding my breath here.
What is terrifying for you, we find it the same because we don't want to put people away and tell people, yeah, this is fantastic if it isn't. So it worries us a bit as well, you know. We hate to say this is horrible, but it isn't, so we don't have to say that. It's great.
Yeah, no worries on that front. This is lovely. And so is this part of the core range now, or is this... Because I know you've got a core range and then you've also got others on top of that. So where does Roy fit in?
Well, Roy is interesting in that it is a seasonal beer that we do in the winter months.
Can you do it all year long?
Normally
please?
In the run-up to Christmas. We could do it year long. I just feel Roy is... I don't know. I'll give you a quick pointer to where we started was traditional. And then what's happened is we built a core range and we've tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it to get it where we want it. And that's kind of, there's got to be, what we're trying to do is we want to appeal to the guy who maybe was drinking Carlin and John Smith's. And we want to take him away from that and give him his first sort of craft beer and say, hey, look, this can be really good without being offensive. And I think Roy kind of pushes a little bit too far into the unknown for a lot of those drinkers. So I think it works seasonally. I don't know whether I'd do it all year, but our plan is to keep the core range. We've got plans for a lager that we want to do on top of our Pilsner. So those will probably stay as a core. And then every quarter we'll release 3 or 4 themed, unusual, out there beers, which we've been itching to get our hands on to do. So
I love the idea of trying to appeal to that sort of macro lager drinker, because I've had this conversation lots with a lot of people. I'm sure that sort of drinker is really scared of the craft scene. I think, you know, it's like a bit of a closed shop sometimes to people, the craft scene, and when they see these weird beers, it really scares them. So if you can sort of pull them in from the other side gradually, brilliant.
My background, I'm a mechanic by trade. I love this trade. I've got into it. And even on a bad day, I think about dragging a Passat gearbox out of a taxi and it kind of, I think, yeah, this is not so bad. I really do. But I didn't know anything about beer. I was predominantly lager drinker. I didn't know the difference between Carlin and Foster's anything really.
That's where you've got the edge then, because you see it from the other side as it was.
Absolutely, yeah. I see it from everybody else. This is what I was having a chat with somebody today who's I won't say who it is, who's got a big company and he's big into beer, and that's all he does. And I said to him, you know, I've got no preconception of what the industry should look like, but what I see is there's the craft beer guys who love craft beer and they're into it and they know their stuff, and then there's everyone else. So how do you get – what I've learned is the craft beer guys are really nice and they're good people. So how do you bring people into that? How many times I picked a can up and looked – I literally have been terrified. I think I have no idea what that is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't. If you want to sell a lot of beer, you've got to appeal to these people and get them on the journey.
I don't think I could nod my head any more there or it'd fall off. Like, that is so spot on. And I think everyone in craft can relate to it as well. Like, if you start, everyone has their little journey they start with, but it all goes in stages. But as you say, it's just getting people on at that ground floor and bringing them with you. And then you'll find actually people are quite open to stuff, I think, if they just have someone they trust to bring them along and they have something they go, oh, that wasn't too bad. What else have they got? And it's that, isn't it? It's opening that gateway.
We had a conversation. I do a bit of YouTube and there's a guy called Paul's Beer Reviews. And he does every kind of beer you could ever imagine. And he really likes the, you know, the Lidl stuff that came out this year. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to another person who was in the trade and was like, I can't believe they've sold out to these guys and they're doing this and doing that. It's terrible for the trade and blah. I said, no, it's not. It's the best thing that's happened. And he didn't understand why. And I said, look, everybody else has just started to try those beers in Lidl because of all the hype. So, and now Morrison's are on it and some of the other supermarkets. Okay, those beers aren't the best craft beers, but it's a starting point.
In the craft world, because it's quite a small world, people sort of forget that the bubble is like, you know, the industry growth that you'd hope for is like, we're not even at 5% or anything yet, I don't think. Or if we are, it's then 5 to 10 is the next jump. And that's still like so sort of miles away, really. So every time you get more people, it's only good news.
You're always going to meet someone that doesn't like you. And I will say, I think my face doesn't fit always because I'm this big, fat, bearded lunatic most of the time, I can rub people up the wrong way quite easily, but on the whole everyone's really lovely, and it's very rare, I think, in this day and age to love what you do and love the job that you're in. And I've had a lot of really, really not like proper terrible jobs, but I've learned a lot from them. And I think I couldn't do what I do now if I hadn't done all that rubbish. And I feel really blessed for what I've got now and the work that I do. I just love it. And I love the people in the trade. And anybody thinking about getting into the beer industry, you won't be disappointed because there's a lot of good people.
Let's open the next beer, shall we? Because that was excellent. It's rare that I can drink as quickly as that, but I did, and I really enjoyed it.
You did power through that, actually. Yeah. It was very noticeable. You are...
I'm quite slow sometimes, so that was good.
We've started a beer subscription service. It's a bit of a loss leader for us in some respects because we've done it very, very cheap. The pack is basically 12 beers from our brewery, and we'll put a little exploratory beer in there. There's going to be some ones with no labels and just a number to give you an idea.
Wow. Oh, I like the idea of that.
It'll be experimental. Yeah, so we won't even tell you what it is. We just want you to give us some notes back on what you think of it.
And then that will give us a way of shaping your beer.
You say you're a mechanic. It sounds to me like you're a pretty good salesman as well, because you've sold that to us very well.
Yeah, you see both of our little faces lighting up.
I can see his face light up at the prospect of this, yeah. Well, I can tell you now, if the rest of the beers in this pack each month are anything like the two that we've got here, it's well worth it, because this porter we've just cracked here, it's called the Band and Car, and it's excellent.
I tell you what it reminds me of. I was surprised it's actually a porter. It reminds me of like a dry stout, if that makes sense. Like, I think the Irish sort of style, and I think that might tie in, I guess, because this is, again, with the naming, this is based on an Irish folk song, so I don't know if that was the influence, but it's quite dry and roasty, and I sort of think of like White Hag or something like that.
You've hit the nail on the head, really. It's more a porter in the can. It's a little bit thinner after being filtered and carbonated. It's much lighter.
I imagine it must be really smooth on hand pour.
I can't explain it to you. I call it the Rolls Royce of our beers. It's just got this lovely luxuriousness about it. It's just...
That still comes across in the canned version, that smooth luxuriousness of it. It still comes across really well.
I like the roastiness of it. I'll have to so roasty at the end.
It's been an absolutely fascinating conversation, John. We've learned a lot of stuff from you. Do you want to just give our listeners some of your social details and they can follow you on all the different platforms and hopefully get some of your beer as well?
Yeah, I'd love to. Our website is lordsbrewing.com. If you Google Lords Brewing, we'll be in there somewhere. Our Instagram is Lords Brewing and our Twitter is Lords Brewing. If you want to talk to me personally, my personal Instagram is just beer now, because I used to do cars, and I people get asked me car questions, so I said I just do beer now, so it's just beer now. So you're more than welcome to head over, come and talk to me, and you know, those people out there have never had our beers before. I'm really sorry I'm not a beer expert, but we do love beer and we love you as customers, and we appreciate your support. And the one big thing, if I can say one thing before I go, is no matter your situation, no matter what's happening, you are never without hope. And tomorrow is another day, and just keep moving forwards. Never give up, never quit, refuse to give in, and just keep going.
Daft About Craft.
Every month we get a brewer on to have a little chat and leave us a voice note and let us know what's been going on with them, and more importantly, what's going to be happening with them. And this month, I'm delighted to say, we've got Rivington Brew Co. from up in Chorley. They were featured on the last episode because I had an excellent experience not only with their beers but also with their customer service, and I've got really, really high hopes that they're going to kick on this year, and it looks like that could well be happening, judged on the early signs of what's going on, as you'll soon find out when you keep listening to this.
Hello Dave and Dave, I'm Ben from Rivington Brew Co., one of the founders with,
and Mike,
also one of the founders. Cheers for inviting us on. We thought I'd give you a little bit of a background about the brewery. So we're currently sat in our tap room, which is vacant, which is a little bit sad, but it's just become a bit of a can fulfillment area for now. So a little bit of background to us. We were brewing on a 10/12 barrel kit, with about sort of six tanks, so we can brew at the moment about twice a week. We only moved onto this kit last July. Before that, we were brewing a little like three barrel kit, and our beer wasn't getting much further out than the local area, like Lancashire and a little bit into Manchester. So last, in summer 2019, we placed an order on a bigger kit, which we started to get it installed towards the end of 2019. Then we got the news at the start of January 2020 that the brewery manufacturer, fabricator, had gone to administration. So our fit out was then delayed, and it was sort of handed on to another company instead. And then lockdown hit in April. So it was a pretty bad start to 2020 for us, as it was for most people. Fortunately, we got some really good guys to finish off the kit in June, July time. Where we reopened, well, started doing our first beers pretty much, I think it was a week before lockdown ended, 2 weeks.
Yeah. The tap room was open way to 19, wasn't it?
Yeah. So,
so we were going to brew enough for that, for the tap room.
Yeah, so the tap room was about, I think November 2019 we opened, and with the three barrel kits, when you've got 17 taps on, it wasn't the most sort of efficient. We're regularly sort of running out and having our guest beers on. We reopened the tap room after lockdown in July and got the first few beers off our kit. And so for the summer, July, August into September, we were really trying to get used to our new kit, and a few of the beers weren't particularly where we wanted. So we had to do a fair bit of tweaking on that to get them to what we thought they could be. So it wasn't really until, we'd say, October onwards where we realised, the second lockdown was coming, that we made the move into small pack, so use some mobile canners to come and get our beer out a bit more. And it's probably from October, November, December, we're getting happier with our beers, where they should be.
Yeah.
We definitely need more about how the brewery worked, but then it was, as it always is with brewing, constantly tweaking and innovating and improving it. So the end of 2020 ended up being a decent end to the year. We brewed a couple of collabs last year as well. We did one with Pomona Island and Squawk, really good guys. Did one with Runaway as well. We were lucky enough to be invited in Easter to Hop City in 2020, but unfortunately that was obviously cancelled because of COVID. It'd been a good year. Looking forward to 2021, end of 2020, we did a collab with Cloudwater, which is going to be out, as of us recording this, it's going to be next week, we think, week after next.
Yeah.
Which was amazing, really exciting to have those guys come down here and invite to do a collab. I mean, they can take the pick off anyone in the world to do a beer with, so it was We're very flattered by it. Also for 2021, we've got a few more lined up. We've been talking with, I know you've had these guys on your podcast, S43, so we've gone back and forward a little bit on a few ideas. Also, Wild Horse over in North Wales. Sort of knew those guys a little bit from when they very first started. It was, I think they're about a year older than us, so I think they're 7 years old. We're six this year. So again, we've been talking a little bit about doing something together there. And we're also doing, in the next couple of weeks, a bit of a collab with a few local breweries, about five or six local breweries, which will is a little bit of a thing, I guess, to sort of boost the local economy, trying to sell it through our tap rooms and through local bars and things as well, to sort of all try and help one another out, because, as you guys well know, the hospitality industry, both tap rooms and breweries, has been ravaged by COVID, so anything, if we can all sort of work together and help out a bit. In terms of styles, there's a few different things we want to brew this year, but to be honest, our biggest issue at the moment is capacity. If we find out we're sort of brewing fog, well, a lot, way more than we thought. Where once it was on the new kit, we thought it might be once a month, it went down to once every 3 weeks, to now it's probably once every 2 weeks, to when things reopen, it'll probably be every week. So we're looking at a potentially getting a few more tanks in, especially when things start to reopen, so we can do cask, keg, and small pack as well. But in terms of styles, we've got in tank at the moment, we've got a Pilsner, we've got Beach House, which is sort of our core, well, it's our main cask session pale, and we've got that in cans again. We've got a fruited vanilla porter as well. And then we've got the Cloudwater Club, which is coming out soon. But we're also planning on doing a few more styles this year. I mean, the first beer we ever launched 6 years ago, we started with a Saison, and Saisons have always sort of been pretty close to our hearts, so we'd like to do a Grisette or a Saison again. Then a few, try and have a little bit of variety. We enjoyed making the Pilsner, so we'd look at that again.
Maybe a brown ale, something like that, yeah. Something classic.
And then long term, we've done a few things with Brett. We've had a stock ale in the past, we've had a mixed firm Saison, we've got split batch barley wine at the moment, which is fermenting with different strains of Brett. But long term, we'd like to get towards that that mixed firm side of things. But again, it's quite a big investment in barrels, which at the moment, the sort of money we have or don't have is going towards new tanks and
polytunnels.
Building polytunnels, shelters, PPE, everything like that. So yeah, that's probably a long-term goal and something we want to do properly and take our time doing it. So if not this year, it's going to be a few years off before we sort of make that investment into a few barrels. What else are we doing? We've always tried to tick along and do things quite slowly. We're not rushing to add loads of capacity. We want to sort of add a little bit at a time. We don't want to put ourselves under too much, I guess, pressure and become too big too quick and have a lot of beer to sell. And if I'm honest, our long-term plan has always been quite focused around the tap room with sort of distribution predominantly locally and then a little bit further afield and abroad, and we're kind of sticking to that at the moment as far as possible. But yeah, just like everyone, we're looking forward to things opening up a little bit. With our main, I guess, season in essence, the tap room is from Easter to September, so if things open up by Easter, we've got a big outdoor space, a field converted into basically a beer garden, campsites,
street food.
And we'd also, we're looking at potentially utilising the space, depending on restrictions in the future, and do maybe a mini festival or something, or sort of guest bars. But yeah, we'll sort of see as the year progresses and what happens with COVID, whether we do that. But that's it, pretty much. Thanks very much for giving us a shout, and cheers for the shout out on your podcast. Kat in particular liked the mention. So thanks very much, and hope to see you hopefully on the festival circuit or down at the tap room this year. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Massive thanks to Ben and Mike there from Rivington. We're expecting big things from Rivington in the months ahead, so absolutely great to have a catch-up with you guys. Well, we hope you're enjoying episode number 8 of Daft About Craft. And we're giving you lots of ideas about drinks to maybe have a go at, to try. and giving you some inspiration and information about what's out there on the craft beer scene. Now, we've got a bit of news for you now. A couple of crowdfunders to tell you all about. And the first one is from the Tenby Brewing Company in Pembrokeshire. Now, a couple of months ago, I tried one of their beers for the very first time in our Brew to Me feature. It was a barrel-aged beer. And that went down pretty well, and we were very interested to see that they're crowdfunding at the moment in a bid to raise £24,000 to build a new venue right next to their brewery. So you'll have to go there and drink right next to where the beers are made. Now, 2020, as we know, was pretty awful for a lot of people in the industry, and trade sales from the Tenby Brewing Company dropped by 85% during 2020, and it's, to be honest, it's a miracle they're still going, but they are. And if you can afford to put a bit of money into this crowdfunder, I'm sure they'd be very, very grateful. Basically, whatever you put in, you can exchange that money for yard bucks, which you can then spend at the new venue when it's up and running, and they're worth a bit more, I think 10%, and on a sliding scale upwards from what you invested. But the one I'm interested in, I might well go for this actually, not that I find myself in Tenby very often, but I might do, is the yard card, and that costs £20, which go towards that £24,000 and gives you a 10% discount at their new venue, The Yard Forever, which is pretty excellent, I think. Now, if you want more information about the crowdfunder, tenbybrewingco.com is the place to head to, and you can read all about it there. But that bar they're trying to build, called The Yard, is going to have a 250 capacity with 15 taps. I would like to get myself down there when that's up and running one of these days. So I think the yard card is the thing I'm going to be going for.
And continuing the theme of crowdfunders, Solvay Society, which is in Leytonstone in London. They are a Belgian-influenced brewer who have been going for a couple of years. I must confess, I've not had any of their wares yet, but that will be changing. I suspect we might hear them popping up again on a Brew to Me soon. But anyway, they are doing a crowdfunder to expand and turn their place into a brew pub. Now, they initially went for £5,000, but excellently, they've already surpassed that. They're at £5,500 at the time of recording, and they're trying now to get to £10,000 to help them expand even more and add another tank in so they can brew even more beer and produce it for even more people. What you get with them, they've got a range of options, and what I really like, and I'm actually in the process of doing it right now, is if you donate £10, you get £20 bar tab when the tap room is reopened, and 20 equals 40 and so on and so on. So there is a chance to have a very good night out in the future in your back pocket for essentially half the price of what you're outlaying, which is an excellent incentive. So if you want more information on Solvay Society and you want to donate to the crowdfund, or just maybe order some of their beers they've got already, it's solvaysociety.com.
And time now for a little bit of this. Eighth time that we've played this music. This is our eighth Hype or Tripe beer, where we have a look at a beer that's doing the rounds, is everywhere, and tell you what we think, whether it's good or bad. And Dave, there really can only be one beer we turn to this month.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really probably the most excited I've been about doing Hype or Tripe, purely because it feels like this beer, of all of the ones we've done so far, fits the brief to a T. You cannot move without seeing Verdant Putty on social media. You cannot get away from it. It is everywhere. And it's running the whole gamut of opinions. There's people loving it. There's people hating it. There's people in between. So yeah, it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to seeing where we come down on it.
Should we crack open our cans, Dave?
Yeah. So where do you sort of come down as we're cracking this on Verdant as a brewery? They've expanded recently. They've definitely got their fans, and it's probably also fair to say they've got some detractors who don't sort of like what they put out all the time, but they can and do put out some very good beers as well.
They seem to go through waves for me. You hear a lot about them for some time, then they sort of drift off the radar a little bit, then they come back with something big like this to lure people back in, and I really hope it lives up to the billing. So this was first brewed for the inaugural Hop City Festival in 2017, so I reckon this must be the fifth incarnation of this beer, Dave. But interestingly, the recipe has never changed. It's the same now as it was the first time. Now, as we've heard from other brewers who've had on the show, they often tweak recipes as they remake them, but this stays the same as it always has been, with Galaxy, Mosaic and Azaka hops.
When's yours canned? Have we got a similar? Because it seems like, given the amount they've put out there, there's no end of stock. So have we got the same or a different batch, perhaps?
Let's have a look.
I was canned on the 11th of Jan.
Yeah, me too.
Not even 2 weeks old, this. Okay, so we're dealing with the same batch. First thing I'd say is one of the issues I can have with Verdant is the veggie Verdant nose.
Yeah.
And that's not got it, has it? It had a little twinge of it at first, but now it's giving way to being quite fruity.
Yeah.
Whereas some of their beers go really that oily, oniony veg nose, and it just hangs around. And I
Absolutely. Personally
don't like it that much.
When I cracked the can, there was a little bit of that. But like you say, it's given way. And what I get now is fruit, really, lemon and citrus. You've just had your first mouthful. You put in some strange faces. Right, I'm going to go for it. It's quite piney, isn't it?
Very piney, I find. Very resiny. Okay, so we've got a beer then, which was introduced 5 years ago, which in craft beer is actually, you know, a week in politics is a long time. Well, 5 years in craft beer is eons in some ways, isn't it? I mean, you think how much things have changed. So I actually think it feels like a beer in some ways from that time, where when you'd have first had it, it would have been so out there and so different. And now it feels quite familiar in its own way, as if it's not a new version of putty. So it's not changed. It's whether you like what you had 5 years ago and just want to keep having it each year.
Yeah, I do wonder if you sort of lined up half a dozen different dippers and you did a blind taste test of them all, would you be able to pick this one out as something extra special? Maybe you popped a Cloudwater in there and some other, and a North, maybe Northern Monk. Would you be able to pick this out?
I think I could pick it out purely because everyone's gone the juice way and this isn't juice.
Right, but so it's sort of harking back to its past in many ways then.
Yeah, I suppose it, because Verdant have their fans, and I think if you're a fan of beer, if you're a fan of Verdant to start with, you'll have no issues with this at all, because it stays true to what Verdant do. I have them in the bracket of when they brew, by and large, they don't actually go that fruity with stronger beers. Fruit Car Site Exhibition would be an exception to that rule, and I really like it. But their other beers, I find, all sort of end up falling into the slightly same bracket of a bit onion, a bit veggie, quite dry, piney, resiny. And this is all of those, more or less.
It certainly is when you start, just as I'm getting further down the glass now, that pininess is giving way for me. Don't know if you're experiencing the same
thing. Mine's holding up.
I mean, it's still there, but it seems lessened and a bit more fruity.
No, mine hasn't changed really from the get-go.
Their notes say that it's got masses of mango, lemon, citrus and pine, alongside peach, passion fruit and mixed tropical fruits. Are we getting any of those? I certainly noticed it quite a citrusy aromas there when I first poured it into the glass.
Pine for me.
Not sure.
If I was getting any fruit, maybe green mango, that sort of greenness of taste. I can't pick out much else. It doesn't feel like, when you know how, going back to what we're talking about with the recipe, going back to beers when you know that they've hopped it up to the max to make it as tropical as possible, and what some of those can be, I don't necessarily think this is doing that.
Do you think it tastes like 8%?
Yes. Yeah, I do, actually. Verdant, generally, with their strengths, they're pretty on the money. It doesn't hide it for me, and Verdant beers never do. If they say something tastes of 8%, I generally think it does. So where do you come down on this, then?
2021 is less than a month old, and I'm pretty sure I've had better beers than this already this year.
Okay, so that's...
No, that's not to say that this is a bad beer. It's just to say that maybe it doesn't quite live up to all the hype. I've seen people saying, this is the best dipper I've ever had. I think
I can't.
I think there will be better dippers than this year.
Yeah, I think that is a very fair statement. And there's going to be so many others, probably from brewers we aren't even thinking about yet or aren't even in existence yet. Mm. It's not a bad beer. Is it worthy of being hyped up how it has been? No, not for me, to be brutally honest. It's
a very
it's above average, but not much more.
Yeah, it's definitely above average. As you know, it is a sound, solid beer. It's not excellent for me, and I don't think for you. Very clever marketing campaign. That is undeniable because it's everywhere. It's worked
really
well.
That is an excellent piece of work. I mean, if nothing else, the amount of volume of cans they've managed to ship shows what can be done if you market your beer correctly, and it'll be. I think the wider point to take without being too sort of up in the clouds of it all is this is how craft beer might start to look if people get a bit savvier and start really thinking how can we exploit the idea that this beer is the best and we can get it right. We might get a few more of these beers, which is great for us because it will give us far more material to road test and whether it does live up to it. But I think this could be the sign of things to come from that perspective. So the emphasis then just has to be, it has to match up the marketing you're going to give it.
So hype or tripe or none of the above? It's not tripe, is it? I think if you imagine you were given this and you didn't know what it was and somebody said, here you are, taste this, what do you think? You would not drink that and say, that is the best dipper I've ever had.
I think you're right.
I just don't think you would.
Unless your palate is so tuned to that, you'll just go mental for it. And I think that's what Verdant followers do. I don't want to have splinters up my bottom, but it's not hype, but it's not tripe either. It is a sound beer. And I think going full circle, I think if you had this first time round and you really liked it and it's become a favourite and you look forward to that release every year, that re-release, and you get excited and you want to see if it's changed on year to year, you'll get your kicks out of it and you'll really like it. If you're coming to it cold for the first time, you might think, what was all the fuss about? It's a perfectly decent beer, but it's not going to blow my socks off. I want to see what else there is. And I think that's the best answer I can give you.
So there we are. That's what we think about Verdant's latest release of Putty. Just about brings us neatly to the end of the podcast, episode number 8. And many thanks if you've made it this far. Many thanks for listening to us. We really appreciate you tuning in. Now, every 3 weeks to Daft About Craft. Now, I've got another great episode coming up for you in a few weeks' time. It'll be released on February the 15th. We've got all sorts on that episode, haven't we, Dave?
Yes, we've got no end of things. We will be talking to Joanne and Tori from a Woman's Brew podcast. We've got Vault City, which will be especially sweet for
Dave. I'm very happy about this. Vault City coming on the show to talk to us. Can't wait for that.
We'll also have our usual features, and we're also going to have a brand new one. And I'll let Dave tell you a little bit more about that, because it's one that hopefully you can all get involved with.
Well, this is what we're hoping. It's going to be called Drink Along With Us. And this is your chance to drink what we're drinking on the podcast. So if you sort of look on our social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, in the next couple of weeks, we'll tell you what the beer will be. Then there's a chance for you to get hold of it. And then crack open your can when we open ours. And we can drink together. And you can tell us then what you make of it. And hopefully they've enjoyed it or detested it just as much as us.
Exactly. The key is, please do let us know what you get out of it. You know, this is part of the joy of craft, is one beer can taste five different ways to five different people. So it'd be really interesting to see what you get out of it compared to what we get out of one. So yeah, we're really excited to do this, and hopefully you will enjoy it too.
And what you could do is you could record us a little voice note or something on Instagram and send it to us, and we can then play that on the next episode, so we can really make this quite interactive. So watch out on the socials and get involved with Drink Along With Us. We're also going to have our usual features, Brew To Me and Hype Or Tripe. Which means, all in all, episode 9 is going to be a pretty good one.